I think I have like a thesaurus over here.
That's a big book. I have a little tiny one, but it's funny because it's of SpongeBob. It like has SpongeBob on it.
You know, yeah, on it. It's like Lisa Frank. Or, yeah. You know how they say in Mean Girls, it's like her hair is full of secrets. It's like my notes. My audience knows. It's like it's all about my notes. It's like it's giving composition book fifth grade. Like, all right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
In your head, you're in it, right?
Yes.
We don't want you. We don't want to cut off that beautiful face.
Oh.
Okay. Whew, it has been a morning. Okay. Whew, okay. Okay, everybody. Here would Talk to Me Taylor. As you know, we are in the business of giving the people what they want. And what they want is a Forrest Gump 2.0 of celebrity world red carpet entertainment reporting. And a hot ass bitch who is business savvy, is a business genius.
Oh my goodness.
And we are here to deliver for you. And actually, in all seriousness, it's been a little hardcore. You know, we've been dealing with some sensitive, heavier topics, and we're here today to, again, give the people what they want and lighten the mood. So I have with me Juliet Schroeder, the Juliet to my Romeo, who we literally just met 2 days ago and hit it off like two tri-state housewife broads going on for hours. But let me tell you a little bit about Juliet before we get this party started. So she is the founder of the very successful platform Celeb Secrets. This bitch started her company at 15, okay? And first of all, we have so much in common, so many Hollywood stories, yeah, people we know. But you really impressed me, and I like saw myself in you, not in like a creepy way, not in like a sexual way, right away, in that your hustle is so real and your hands are in every part of your business, from booking things to editing to every single story, post, distribution. And you know, the tri-state broads like us, we are hard to come by. So I'm really excited to talk to you. And I know Celeb Secrets, the way I describe after you told me about it, is very like, I feel like it's a like sexy variety. It's like not gossip. We're not doing TMZ. No. It's behind the scenes, but sexy and fun. So yes. Juliet.
Hi.
Here we are in Nashville. Welcome.
Thank you.
Howdy. Holy shit. This is how real our commitment is. By the way, these are two hustling hoes, because I literally had a flat tire on my way here. I look like Annie M out in the Nashville windstorm, basically. And we were committed to make this happen.
We have to. We have to. Like,
it's what we do.
Two women in entertainment, hustling. Like, we have to compare stories.
Like, we did.
Oh, my God.
But on another level. Like, the waitstaff at Sonny's in Germantown did not ask for this. No, they were like,
they
ladies.
Hated us.
Well, first of all, so how we're going to do this today, guys, is I'm going to talk with Juliet about kind of like big picture, our stories, like celebrity and media and entertainment, like all the fun shiz you want to know. And then at the end, we'll kind of get into some buzzy pop culture topics right now. Okay. First of all, first things first, how is Jason Aldean's? This girl's like, she's with everybody. She's showing me videos with like doing parking lot magic tricks with Peyton Manning, like casually. Yesterday, she's trying that in a small town with Jason Aldean. Like, how was that?
It was fun. It was in like a nice little intimate room. It was at the 8th room down in like Berry Hill. So it was a lot of his friends and family, a lot of music execs, a lot of PR people, journalists that we've seen. And they were just celebrating the song and everything like that. They had the big plaques. The food was there. The tequila was flowing. The whiskey was flowing. So like, we had a good time. It was fun.
Okay. But what was funny, and we were talking about this, is how we were kind of like, I mean, I wasn't there, but in general, how the last minute thing will be like, oh, they're not doing interviews or not doing press. Uh-huh. And I assume that kind of sit went down because Jason knows he's going to ask about trying that in a small town. Like,
they were talking about it. And everyone was like, oh, yeah.
So you didn't get to interview him? Or
no.
Was he like, were you hobnobbing? Were you hanging out? Were you like tipping your cowboy hat with him?
I was not wearing a cowboy hat. But if you saw on Instagram, I was wearing a whole denim outfit, like a cutout bodysuit with jeans and glitter boots. I'm like, I needed to do that to try and fit like, you know, the country vibe, because you know me, I am not country at all. Like, born and raised in New York City, like, grew up listening to pop music, like, come down to Nashville, and I'm like, what's a cowboy hat? Like, this is a fantasy. It doesn't even sound or look real. So I try to embrace that every time I come down here. But, yeah, he was mingling. He was mingling with a lot of people. You know, I was more by the bar area, having a good time.
Taking it all in.
Taking it all in, getting the content that we need. But it was really fun. It's nice to hear, like, stories behind the songs. And that's the reason why I was down here this week. So there were three number one parties. Yeah. So on Tuesday, it was Corey Kent for Wild As Her, which is great. I think that's the name of the song. Is it called Wild As Her?
You're asking like one country newbie to another. I'm like, you know, the thing about the truck and the hat.
Think it's Wild As Her. I'm going to
correct. Oh, yeah. No, it is. I do like that song. No, I do like that. It's a good song. It's a good song.
Yes,
yeah.
It is Wild As Her.
The truck in the hair, the wind and the thing. Yeah, I like
that. It's really cool because it was his debut single and he was like a carpenter and like, you know, doing construction before that. And then like they got this song that was kind of a Morgan Wallen cast off. And you could hear it. Like when I listened to the lyrics and listened to the song, I'm like, this could have been something from Wallen in 2017. And it was. And it's just something that he couldn't record, so they gave it to him. And the way that he kind of, like, brought it to life and it changed his career because now he's, like, a number one selling artist rather than, you know, just being in wherever he's from. I think Oklahoma, or he's living in Texas. So it was really nice to hear that story and how, like, somebody could have such a vision. And even the songwriters, too, hearing about their creative process.
Yeah.
And then just how it comes. People listen to it at the radio. They don't understand, like, the meanings.
Yeah, that's why I said you were a sexy variety because you're like, we want to know the stuff people know, but not necessarily like you're airing out your private stuff. Mm-hmm. You're this, you're that. It's more like what went into that song, what went into that movie, what went into, you know, that people wouldn't necessarily know. But you're modest because not only are you, you're with this guy, you're with Jason today. She, like, two
Jelly
hot messes. You should have seen it. Yeah, she has Jelly Roll and Lainey Wilson. Like, okay. Flowers.
So that's why I was down here. Just three number one parties. Couldn't say no. Great opportunity. Great way to meet new people. Because I never would have thought that I met you. Like, never thought
and
we were
going
to go to Sunny's. Now we're here talking about and my career. But yeah, no, it's just great. Like, I love coming down here. And it's a quick flight from New York, so it's not that bad.
And you told me how, again, like, my audience knows I so appreciate a hustler. Like, especially, I mean, I've always been such a hustler, but especially in a time of like participation trophy and entitlement. And it's like, I went viral on TikTok 55 seconds ago. Like, where is my award? Like, all this nonsense. You were out. I was like, okay. She's telling me this the other night. I'm like, the proof is in the pudding. Like, what's the sitch? Like, you started this when you're 15. And you went out on a red carpet with Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler, and your parents had to come with you.
Yeah, because I was 16 and I couldn't go by myself. Like, I was a child.
Yeah.
Legally, I couldn't do that. So we went with the camcorder. That was in 2011. It was for Just Go With It, one of my first red carpet movie premieres, which was really fun. And, you know, it's just like, okay, well, this is cool. Well, what are we going to do next week? And what are we going to do next week? And how can we do this? All while I was still in school.
Yeah.
And like I was telling you, I did the competitive cheer. I did the dance.
Yeah.
I did figure skating. Like, I did all of the sports.
Yeah.
And still had time to do this and go to school, which was really nice.
And it so shows, like, obviously for me, I love the power of women being so multifaceted. And it's like, you're gorgeous. And here she is with me the other night rattling off. She's like, you know, when we did this, our engagement went up 110%. I'm like, she's speaking my language. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Let's... Because there's so much, like I joked, you're like, like I said, I thought I was the Forrest Gump of like kooky, crazy, all these stories. And I was like, okay, she definitely has what on me. Like, she may have a leg up on me in that department. You obviously have done and seen so much.
Yeah.
So there's no way that we could possibly, like, you could recount all your stories.
No.
But just to give people, because I don't think people realize – like the kooky chaos and madness that goes on, sometimes dysfunctional, sometimes unexpected and, you know, spontaneous, that goes into what we do and celebrity and Hollywood and all the stories. So I would love just to give an insight into your world with something that kind of like really sticks out to you. Like, I'll start while you think on it. For me, I interviewed one time Morgan Freeman. I don't know if you've interviewed him. Like,
yes, I have.
Like the USA's grandpa, yes. Right? Like literally God and Bruce
the
Almighty.
The narrator of the world.
The narrator of our lives. And he's promoting this big Paramount movie. Okay. And I sit next to him with a brown table of other reporters. And I'm fresh on the scene in LA. I'm wearing these like Abercrombie ripped up jeans, iconic, right? And there's holes, like, not crazy, like in the knee, whatever. And he sits right next to me, sure enough. And he's like, those. Like looking at me like perplexed, like what is like a what grandpa would like here? What like yeah. Like what are those your jeans are missing something, and he said something like, you know, that's strategic placing, and it wasn't at all creepy. It was so funny. It was like on my knee, nothing like sexual. Turns out one of the women in the room complained to Paramount, like that was so inappropriate, da da da. It ended up becoming a national news story a couple years later when he came under fire for Me Too stuff. Outlets were like, oh, he objectified a female reporter. What's crazy was in that moment, it's on camera on my YouTube, I'm like joking with him about it. I'm like, he's leaving the room. I'm like, anything you want to say about my pants? And he's like, wear them. We high five, the whole room cracks up. But it ended up becoming like a Me Too story. And I wrote an op-ed being like,
it really
people.
Wasn't.
Exactly. Like, yeah. We're having fun here. Lighten up. So
when was this?
This was, man, I was fresh in LA, like 2015, 2016.
Okay.
And then my op-ed was a couple years later, maybe like 2018 wow. in Playboy. But yeah.
That's crazy.
So I'm curious to give these guys a similar insight, like just a story to you that really gives a view into your world.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have a specific story, but being, you know, being a young woman starting at 15, so already at a disadvantage because I'm so young. Already a woman, so that is also another disadvantage. Just like going in there, and I would bring my younger sister with me, so she's 3 years younger. So if I'm 15, she's 12, right? And we would go in with our little camcorder, and we'd go with like our questions prepared. And everything like that. And there were people wouldn't take us seriously. They'd be like, who let these kids in here?
Yeah.
Why do they have time in here? Like, good luck. Like, and then you'd get like the older people, maybe the photographers or other reporters, you know, like kind of being snubby, kind of like brush us off, like try and like educate us in a sense, be like, you're not supposed to do that. Or you're like, don't tell me what to do. I came here on my own merit. And clearly if the people are giving us access to it, they believe in us and they believe in our story. So I feel like I've just had a lot of that. And I feel like sometimes even now when I break into different verticals and different genres, with whatever it may be, the reception might not be that great when I come in, just because, again, you know, what you look like, you know, your attitude, this and that. I'm very fashion forward. So I'll come fully dressed and all the bells and whistles. And some people don't usually do that. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions in that space. But then even like you said, you sit and you talk to me and you're like, oh, your story's incredible. Like, you know what you're doing, this and that. So I feel like there are kind of a lot of stories with that where I come in and people are like, who is this? So they'll be like, what is celeb secrets? Like, oh, we don't yeah. want to do this because we think it's a TMZ type. And I'm like, right. No, like, listen to my story, listen to our brand, listen to the community that I built with my brand. And I bet you a lot that you will enjoy our conversation. It'll be one of the best stories that's ever been turned around. And there are people that'll reach out to me and be like, I sent this to my family. Like, we printed out your feature and it's in our house. Like, there are so many, like, stories that I've gotten where it's like, thank you for telling my story, or thank
you
for meeting with me. So that's why I feel like it's worth it in a sense. But again, it's a grind. Like, you're never always going to get what you want.
No.
Like, you have to put in the work to get something back.
I totally relate to being an independent one woman show. Yeah. And there, it's not like the polished, you know, the behemoths of like the E, the whatever with the cameraman and this and this. It's like, here we are. And when I similarly had my own platform and started it in LA, also like out of the box would go, you know, with the selfie stick and really reinvented the wheel. Like, they were like kind of similar to you. Like, what yeah. is this? Like, what are we even doing? I'm curious for you, because I found a lot of the time it wasn't the celebrities were like so into it. They're like, oh, this is different, yeah. like grabbing the selfie stick along for the ride because they're bored of the same old shit. Mm-hmm. It would be their like team, their publicist, their whatever, who would like cock block me and yeah. be like, what is this, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, when you say you got that kind of pushback or whatever, and if you still do, like, do you find it's from the talent or from their team?
Probably just the team, because they don't know like what it
mm-hmm.
is. And it's not because, oh, we don't want this. It's people genuinely, if they don't know what it is, then like you're not going to understand it. Mm-hmm. But if you know what it is, then you're like, oh, come and do this. That's why I have so many relationships with different brands, different, you know, agencies, things like that. Because once we work on a project and we show those deliverables, they're like, this is great. Like, this right. is awesome. And again, it's me. Like, I'm the voice behind it. I'm the one doing everything. It's not a machine. Like, it's not going to be out there to try and destroy someone's reputation. Mm-hmm. Because there are some reporters, and you've probably seen it too, in media sessions, roundtables, wherever you are, they'll like snoop in on something and then they'll use it to their advantage for a story. And then it really just kind of ruins whatever project they were doing or that person's character. I would never do that. That's not why I do this. This is not like,
yeah,
that's not why I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here because I like to create and I like to talk. So, if I could do that in a way, you know, I'm not an actress, I'm not a singer. So if I could find a creative space in another way, and it's great that now in this digital age, you can like prop up a phone or you could prop up something and really create what you want and not have anyone judge you for it.
Yeah.
I feel like that it's perfect. And I started this, the idea came around in 2009 and it launched in 2010. So you could imagine the dynamic of what social media, digital media, you know,
different.
Young people just in this business, it was not what it is now.
Like no, now God, I feel it like so
it would, we would be taken a little bit more seriously, like just starting out, but back then,
no, nothing. It was so different. And when we were talking the other night, kind of what you were just saying now, I love what you said about, it's kind of like with any entrepreneurial yeah. business startup, it's like, not only do you have to prove yourself, but it's really about them taking a shot mm-hmm. with you and like giving you a chance. And we were talking about how over and over it's the, again, you know, I hate to say it, but it's like the boring, like E and variety, whatever it is, access, like nobody cares about these questions. And I love how you said, I agree completely. I would tell them the same thing with mine. I was like, this is only going to make them have the best experience. Yeah. Like they would leave, be like, no, I don't want to go. Like, this is so fun yeah. and make them look so good. Uh-huh. But because they were so unused to it again, like, what is this? We haven't seen this in, you know, we were talking about this the other night. It's like, there's still, it's different now for sure, but I feel like there's still a little trickle effect of
that. There's always going to be. Like, nothing is, this business, it's changed so much, but it's not going to at the end of the day. Like, it is what it is. It's successful for that reason.
True.
So, yeah, people will move with the times, but at the end of the day, you can't force someone to want to work with you. You can't force someone to like you. You just have to do your thing and hope that, you know, your mission and your platform kind of resonates with those people and the light bulb goes off. And it's like, okay, well, how do I get in on it?
It's so indicative.
That's my motto.
It's so true and it's so indicative of our culture. It's almost... It's crazy because it's like Hollywood and even bigger picture than that culturally. It's like we'd like to think it's like we're progressing and like cutting edge, but it's like that's the tale as old as time. And it's almost like we're going backwards in that regard of it's so indicative, even these stories. And again, big picture of people are like so scared, like they want you in a box and they're so scared of what they don't know. They're like, no, we can't take a risk on that.
Yeah.
Like people are just scared.
Absolutely. That's why people ask for questions in advance.
Oh, don't we love that? Don't we love that? I'm like, no. Hard no. Yeah, if you guys didn't know, these teams have the audacity and balls the size of Texas to be like, okay, so you're interviewing blah, blah, blah. Like, could we get a rundown of questions? It's like, sweetie, you literally are dropping acid. Like, absolutely. Like,
so
what is
insulting.
This? No, it literally is insulting. Yeah. But what I hate when people ask me this, but I'm sure you get all the time, like, who's the best and the worst and the – I hate it because it's like
I can't answer that.
There's so many they
Imagine
blend together.
Doing interviews for 14 years, trying to go back in my mind, thinking like, "What did I do? I don't even know what I did last week." Like I couldn't even tell.
It's
so fast paced.
So I always say it's like someone asking you like, pick the your favorite meal that you've ever had.
Yeah,
it's like how. But with that being said, is there? Like, again, like I said, you're showing me like you and Peyton Manning, this guy showing you magic tricks in a parking lot. Like, is there just a kooky, like we talk about like how you just wind up in the craziest places and scenarios, like one that kind of like really sticks out in your mind?
Oh my God. I don't know if something that I could say, but, cause there's
Fair
so
enough.
Many situations that I'm
Fair
like,
enough.
I can't say. But I don't know. It's just really cool in a sense where, especially when I was younger, we were interviewing the talent was the same age as us. And they loved that it was kind of a breath of fresh air that, you know, people were interviewing them that were around their age. So it was really great to kind of see how they started in their career. And we were both young and then, you know, growing in my career and their career and still keeping contact and kind of have some like lifelong friends. That's how I met like Dani, how we connected because I interviewed her and then she was like, oh, wait, like you're actually really cool. We need to like develop a friendship outside of work. And that's what he said. Just one of my great friends. So
Danny Robes, very serendipitous, is actually one of the first people I met and interviewed here in Nashville when I moved. Yep. Introduces me to Juliet. And so it's
that's
just
what I'm saying. Like those love I think story. I think those are the best stories that I have of like going on different press trips or going different places and you meet these people and you're like, wow, you're doing the same thing as me or same but different. Because you know how it is. Some people can't really relate to you in that sense. And it's like, I feel like I come here or I go to these different places and people are speaking my language. And it's so hard to try and fit into a big world that what you do is so abnormal and so niche. Because we're like the same, you know?
Yeah. With that being said, something else that we have in common, I was like, we share a brain, like, okay, is that we both have taken, I mean, you have to evolve and change with the times, and both of us have taken a little bit of a pivot from solely like, what is the celebrity, like the celebrity to like me more, you know, social, cultural, like political, you've talked about like lifestyle, like you can't solely depend on celebrity content. And I'd love for you to share with these guys, like why that is. And like, we were talking about, it's funny that like you could have a clip with like the biggest A-lister and it's like, okay, like it gets views. And then, or I could have a, you know, you could have a post or I'll have a post going on a rant on my show solo that is five times that amount. So what do you think? Do you think it's like, people are over the luster of celebrities because of the pandemic? Are they too accessible now with social media? Is it like, are they more uptight now? It's harder to get more authentic, fun content. Like, what do you think?
I think it's a little bit of everything that you just said, because pre-pandemic, it was really easy, more access to more talent. You know, you'd get these great stories, you put them up, everyone would want to look at them. And now with the pandemic, it's a little different because with social media, everything is so accessible. A celebrity doesn't need to go on ET or E or Access to talk about a project. They can just prop up their phone and do an Instagram live.
Right, exactly.
So it's really hard in that sense. But then with the whole dynamic changing with TikTok, you know, TikTok started as like, dance videos. And now I see it's more of get ready with me in fashion. So for us, how we pivot it is we'll be like, oh, steal this celebrity look. Or, you know, like we were talking, you know, Alex Earle is using this product on her get ready with me videos. This is how you could copy the look. Either it's the exact same products or dupes. So a lot of people are looking that up, outfit ideas, more of like that culture lifestyle thing rather than finding out what a celebrity is doing about a movie. I feel like there's still a market for it, especially kind of with people a little older than us, because they do still watch the TV. They still have the newspaper, the traditional media. But in the same vein, it's just the whole dynamic is changing. I started by interviewing teen celebrities. Can you even name one teen celebrity right now?
So true. No. Are we old? No. Farts?
No. I have this conversation with so many people that I started with, some of my good friends. They would work. They ran Popstar magazine, J14 magazine, all those different teams. Pop and Tiger Bee. We would go on all these press trips together and do all this stuff. And the content was completely different. And the celebrities, the teen stars were completely different. And they cared that we were there and talking to them. And we kind of grew with their career. But now there are no teen magazines out on the stands. Mm-hmm. If there are, no one really knows about it. Like what type of younger gossip for like the young Hollywood space. It's not a thing anymore. Mm-hmm. So just seeing how that market changed and now what I'm doing, I never thought I'd be in Nashville covering country music. And 12 years later, we're here and it's one of our strongest markets. Like we have Celeb Secrets and we have Celeb Secrets Country. Like never thought I'd be sitting front row at New York Fashion Week. Never thought I'd be working with different beauty brands and clothing brands to go to different events. So it's just like, I don't know. It's just the landscape and I don't know, everything that you said, it's a little bit of everything, and hey, time will just tell what's going to be the next, because people's attention span is just so tiny now that, like, look, Reels and TikToks, it's 60 seconds. No one wants to watch anything more than 60 seconds.
No, exactly.
And, you know, I'll look at retention rates when we do long-form stuff, and they'll only get through half of it, it's like, or is it because I'm not asking good questions, or is it because their attention span is not good?
The attention span of ants. It's really
pathetic. And they want something, there's always something that's going to be better. There's always going to be something bigger. There's always going to be something cooler. And I feel like that's just our dynamic now. So.
Yeah, but you're smart and like you pivot and go with, speaking of, we're going to get to pop going country, all these people like Beyonce, we'll talk about going country, Lana Del Rey, Post Malone, all this. Uh-huh. But, something I found, because I'm like you, I always said I had like, it's so funny, country is like the thing now, because I always felt like I had one foot in, one foot out. Like my background, like yours, is more like I don't know, I feel film, TV, Hollywood, like music, yes, for sure. I'd cover the Grammys, but country music is a whole beast and ecosystem of its own. And it's funny because I feel like a misconception I had, like people were like, oh, you're going to, Nashville's going to be your playground because my content, right, is like go there and irreverent. And I'm thinking like these country stars are just freewheeling it. Like, and I was so surprised. I say this on my show all the time. I'm like, actually, they are some of the most like, their teams and PR are some of the most zipped up, tight-lipped, you know, whatever it is. So have you found that too, kind of like dipping your toes in and being
So I, like I said, I first came down here in 2012, June 2012 for the CMT Awards. So Broadway was not what it is now. This place didn't even exist though. Exactly. Like nothing really existed. No country singers had bars on Broadway. It was like Ernest Tubb Record Shop and like a boot barn. Like
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, that was it. Like there was no like Jason Aldean's. Like there was no, you know, there was like Wild Horse, which I know is still here, but it's closing. I'm trying to think. No more Anna Lambert's, like no Luke Bryan's, like none of that existed. So I think like in the beginning it was a little hard to get into with anything really for that matter, but I feel like this community down here was a little more welcoming because I think they liked that Hollywood glam aspect because
so it's true.
Like celeb secrets, oh like you guys think I'm a celebrity, like I don't think I'm a celebrity but this is cool. So that I think I had an advantage, and also like the hustle of being in New York and LA and that fast pace, where here back in the day it was much more traditional, slower paced, like print, like I'd be sitting at a round table and these reporters had a pen and paper and they were writing. We would be at concerts and I'd see people next to me and they had a flashlight with a pen and paper writing about the show. It was weird. It was so weird. And just to see how people were really welcoming in that sense, I was like, okay, well, this is an untapped market because they would come to New York and no one would want to go to their shows. No one would want to interview them, but I wanted to because I wanted that content. And again, listening to their stories, how they write these songs, how they're just small town people and now they're playing big arenas. I'm like, and I think it's kind of like a novelty fantasy thing type for me because I am so big city, like fast paced, all that stuff. And they're like, I grew up on a farm. And I'm like, what's a farm? Like, you know,
you're like, are we talking like John Deere? Yeah, like my John Deere doing? Belt from Hot Topic like, circa 2005.
Like, what is this? So I feel
so
like,
true.
And I think that's so what it, people are really resonating with right now is it's kind of an escape for them. Cause it, you could talk about drinking beer with your friends, you know, going to church, you know, if that's your thing, or, you know, going to a barbecue, having those like family values, because if you turn on the TV, like mainstream media, there are no values, there are no morals, there are no values, there's nothing. So I feel like there's no structure, and I feel like that's the only thing is that's why the song's so successful and that's why people want to listen to it, because there's a community, and I feel like I was welcomed in that community 12 years ago, and I love coming down here. And you go in a room and you know how, I don't even live here, I come in a room and I know everybody in the room.
Yeah, like, and I love,
and everyone's friendly and loyal.
Yeah, I love what you said. You really, I think, struck and hit something there with the fact that it's country music, and you can have country vets and reporters listening be like, who are these two broads right now in town for 5 seconds? Like, but
how did
no,
they not know who I am?
But no, we can, exactly. It's actually on you, no, but and we can speak to it because we've been in Hollywood for so long and can see the duality. Uh-huh. And something that you really struck is the heart and the humanity that I think country's capturing that people just want right now. And it's such a, you know, it's funny, I moderated a panel for WNBA a couple months ago with a big artist, Jenna Paulette, and we talked about this very thing, how country has gotten this kind of like from mainstream in Hollywood, this like, oh, they're ignorant, redneck, da-da-da-da-da, and yet someone drops a country song, the streams are through the roof. And I think the contrast is like so often in Hollywood, you talk about like, you know, no more this, that, like it's a mess. And I think something like they've lost is like they're so kind of preachy and like everyone sucks and it's like angry. Whereas with country, there's something that with a lot of these songs, Lainey Wilson, Get in the Truck, like Jelly Roll, that's really just like human and sometimes heartbreaking and real. And people want that. Like we don't want to be preached at from a soapbox about how everyone sucks and da 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 da, you know? So I think that's a big difference.
Oh, totally.
Okay, rapid fire some A-listers you've interviewed. Humble brag.
Oh my God, I don't. Ugh. Like, in what sense?
Everything.
Like, everything?
Mm-hmm.
Goodness. Well, I could talk about country music right now since we're in Nashville. Any like celebrity? I've interviewed Sam Hunt. He was really cool.
Okay.
I've interviewed Carrie Underwood.
Okay.
We would interview Lainey Wilson a lot when she first started,
Yeah.
and we're gonna be talking to her today, which is really exciting. I'm trying to think.
She has that hustle story that I love to hear and get so inspired by how she was here
Living in a
performing for
trailer.
like 15 years in Nashville
Yeah.
before, and now she's massive.
Living in
Like,
a
love
camper
that.
trailer, writing songs with Luke Combs. Like, it is
Love, I
insane.
love that. It's so
I'm
inspiring.
trying to think
Like,
who else.
never stop.
We would interview Kane Brown a lot, which was
Yeah.
really cool. We would interview Morgan Wallen a lot when he first came on the
Oh my
scene. So that was
God.
really
That always
fun.
cracks me up is like when they're fresh, like little babies on the scene, and then seeing them be
I
superstars. Like,
know,
it's,
it's incredible.
yeah.
And it's nice, like, you know, we say you see them on the way up and you see them on the way down, like we joke about it, but it's nice to see them
So sad.
when they are up,
Yeah.
and it's like, you know, you've worked with them from the beginning, like you've told their story from the beginning, and it's just so nice to see someone that worked, because I know how hard it is just for me, and I'm not an artist. I run a business, but I'm not a musician. Like, I'm not out there playing my songs. I'm out there writing
It's a
stories,
different,
but
though,
very
art.
different. And it's, I have a lot of respect for
Yeah.
people in that field. I have a lot of respect
Ditto.
for actors and actresses, especially with the strike. Like, you couldn't do things and it's hard to get roles. I have a lot of respect for athletes because I know that, you know, when you're in season, it is just, it's not easy. That is your life. It consumes your life, is your
I
job.
so
So
agree.
I have a lot of respect for them as well. And even, you know, like you, I have a lot of respect for you because I know how it is. The hustle is just not, it's not easy.
No.
It's not
And it's
easy.
nonstop. You have to be your own, it's self-starting, your own biggest advocate. I too have so much respect for creatives, and when I see these, like, there's especially Nashville's pouring with talented people, and they are out and they have families and kids and full-time jobs, and they're outperforming every single night. And I'm
Yeah.
like, I feel that. Again, it's not, we're not out here singing songs, but it's a different
It's a
entrepreneurial effort and an
different
art and a
form of
creative,
art.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so quick thing off of that before we pivot to really quickly some pop culture stuff going on. You said earlier the difficulties and maybe like hurdles and challenges of being a woman in business and
Yeah.
media. Curious for your thoughts on that, because as my audience and people know, like, I don't know about you. I feel like I'll look around, right? And even as of late, and I'll see dudes doing what we do, and sometimes like they're super good, and sometimes I'm like, how did you get, like, what's the tea? Which it the way I see it, it's kind of like it is what it is. And I look around and like at least in my lane and what I'm trying to carve out, it's like dominated by, right, like the Joe Rogans, Bill Maher's, what have you. But the way I see it is kind of like it is what it is. Like, I hate the woman card of like, give me the, like, I don't want anything handed to me because I'm a woman.
Neither do
I'm
I.
like, I see that it's the competition and I'll compete. It is what it
Yeah,
is that it
yeah.
happens to be that. And maybe they got opportunities handed to them in an easier way than us, but I'll compete.
Yeah.
So what do you think? And like, what's a time or have been times when you've been like, oh, is it
Feel at a
like,
disadvantage or feel just
yes,
like kind of on the outside looking in?
at a disadvantage, if any.
I don't know if I've been at a disadvantage. I've just felt sometimes where I wasn't really welcomed that much. And I'd say, like, kind of in sports, like
Oh,
covering sports,
sports.
because it's very male dominated and you come all dressed and, you know, they're like, who is this girl? Like, what is she here for? What is she doing? What type of questions is she asking? So I feel like kind of sports, it's not something that I'm like really, really into, but we've done it a lot. Like, we've done Super Bowl events, like we go to X Games, like we've done the ESPYs, like we hit the big ones when we need to. And I just feel like not the talent, like chatting with the talent is just so easy, or athletes you'd say. That's easy. It's more of male, female, it's more of the people around you, and it's not the teams either. The teams are like, yeah, go talk to them. Like, that they seem cool, like go do that. It's more
Interesting.
of like the reporters and people around you that they make you feel uncomfortable.
That's so, it's like very territorial.
It's
And
like they
also with
don't
any,
want you to fit in and they don't want you to
no,
feel like you
you know what
belong.
it is. It's if it's dudes, they know that they ain't offering this package. Like, you're, I'm sorry. They
No.
know this, that you're hot and smart.
No.
That is what it is. It's like, oh shit, like, how do we like stay in your lane, lady? I mean, that is, and I love dudes and I love men and I love working with men, but, and they'll admit this, it's like, they can't compete. So it's like stay in your lane, you know.
I guess that's the only time that I felt like uncomfortable or like kind of not welcome. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
At the end of the day, like I'm still there doing what they're doing, and you know, I'm 29, so I'm 29 year old from New York still running a business mm-hmm. from my house, and like I don't have anyone telling me what to do. I'm the one that's creating the content. I'm the one that has the mission and the vision. And if you're at this big publication and we're standing alongside each other, there's something wrong with you, not me, because I got here on my own. And it's like, you know, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not the type of person to kind of like talk trash or anything like that.
No, you're not.
It's like at the end of the day, like, you know, you're all this, like, but I'm standing next to you and I literally do this out of my house. And like, it's me. Like, yeah, I have people that help me out. Like you met one of our other writers the other day, but it's me. Like, this is my voice. This is my thing. And it's like, if I'm here and people are, if it's clicking with some people, if it's not clicking with you, like there's something wrong with you, not me.
Throw the respect on my name. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I do. So I'm dressed like a real life newspaper today. So like, she gets it. It's the living embodiment of doing it. Okay. So some pop culture stuff, and it's actually perfect going off of that. So okay. I don't know about you, but something I've noticed, did you see the Megan Fox story? And Megan Fox to me is like always goals, how she kind of like fucks with people, is super, super sexy in your face, but like smart and self-deprecating about it. But she put up a photo with Machine Gun Kelly, Taylor Swift, and Travis Kelce after the Super Bowl. And she makes a self-deprecating joke. Like, I look like a, you know, Ukrainian blow up sex doll, but really I look like one of those expensive Japanese silicone sex dolls that are really whatever. Just, we don't even have to get into the politics of it because people got all outraged, but the idea of her like having fun with her sexuality. And I feel like this is a thing more and more. Like, you have Sabrina Carpenter, who's like touring with Taylor Swift, and she's the epitome of like boy male fantasy, like blonde hair, tiny, so like owning it, like singing about cocks, like it's everything. I'm like, I just love this, like go. And then you have like Sydney Sweeney, we were talking about the other night, like, right, like owning her boobs and this whole thing. And even on the red carpet, like women being more and more provocative, like showing their nipples, whatever. So what do you make of that, like being in this for so long? Like, do you see that trend? And what do you, like, as a woman and a woman in this business, make of it on the whole?
I don't know. I feel like if I would apply it to myself, like, you know, you do want to keep with the trends, you do want to embrace your sexuality, but at the end of the day, like, you have to be a lady, like you have to be respectful. So I feel like you could do it within limits. So I'm all for like, you know, wearing the cutouts and the sheer outfits, because I love that. I feel like fashion is a form of art. Like, you see my closet, I have all different types of style. But I feel like it should be done with boundaries, just because, like, you know, you want to leave a little mystery. You want to be a lady and leave a little mystery. Like, that's the thing. Maybe it was just the way that I was raised, that I'm just like, okay, like, you know, there, I want to still be well-respected and be proper. So I don't know, but I feel like you could dabble into it a little bit and just have balance. So I feel like, yeah, do whatever you want. Like, go for it. But I feel like, honestly, within means, because then if you're only known for a certain thing, then people won't take you seriously. And again, back to that whole kind of, you know, outlook that people have, it's like on women. It's like, do you want to be taken advantage of? Do you want to be disrespected? No. But do you want to embrace your sexuality and, you know, be who you are and, you know, wear whatever you want? Absolutely. So I feel like it just needs to be within limits, because unfortunately we're not in a time right now, and I don't know when we're going to be in a time where anything is accepted.
I love her. I was saying the other night, she's like, in a time. I was like, I feel like I'm home, her accent. But it's so interesting you say that, because I'm a huge advocate, you know, as my viewers know, of women unleashing both like the Megan Fox thing. Yeah. But it's so interesting you say this, because I was thinking of this the other day. I always say on my show, like, everything in moderation, like common sense. And our culture has gone like so kind of shameless and like gluttonous about so many things, and like extremes in so many areas. And I was thinking about it with this the other day, which is like, okay, like how much is too much? And it's up to the individual, and that's fine. But you know, it got me thinking. I'm often on this, and I still don't know, and I don't have answers, but as someone who is such an advocate of like women being in their powerful sexual self, and also like the intelligent individual, and like power that way, like, is it up to, like, who are we to dictate? Because sometimes for me, I talk about all the time, even in music, I'm like, okay, did I need to know about, like, her labia? Like, what, like, everything's getting so graphic. And I've always said, like, if everything is so over the top, like, then what's left to be edgy? Exactly. Like, so that's the
mystery.
Exactly.
That's what my whole, like, every part of my life, you, like, any of my friends, that they'll tell you, I want, like, there's got to be some type of mystery. Like, you know, you could show off as much as you want, but, like, leave a little something. Leave people wondering, like, what is she really like? Like, what's her story? You know, leave a little to the imagination. That's, I feel like, the perfect way to describe it.
And I always feel like, too, like, you always talk about, you were just saying how, like, what I'm comfortable with, or this person or that person. And that's always what I would advocate for at the end of the day. It's like, we've gone, like, so far down that, is it real? Like, I would just want it to be for the person's, like, healthiest, most powerful, like, empowered self, not just, like, I'm going to go this, you know. But then it's, like, are you capping, like, sexuality and expression? Like, are you putting, like, a limit on that? Or, again, is it, like, when is too much and it's just over the top and all the time? Like, that's, again, it's something I think about a lot,
and there's a fine line. Like, what is that line? I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. But I feel like you could kind of get that gut feeling where you're like, I think this is a little too much. You know, and if, like,
that's what I'm saying. It's
sometimes,
like, just
I
doing
feel
it to
that,
do it.
And I'm like, all right, I think this, if I'm having doubts on it, then I'm not going to do it. If I'm having doubts on what, like, outfit I'm going to wear, or, like, what picture I'm going to post, or, like, what I'm going to wear when I'm filming, like, then I'm like, all right, I need to scale it back just a little bit. Not a lot, because I still want to, you know, express myself, but just in that little bit, because you don't want to have a bad reputation. You don't want to be disrespected. You don't want, like, your body and you know, how you're expressing yourself kind of overshadow your work, because at the end of the day, you're here because you're talented in your work, not by what facade you put on. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's true. Yeah. That's why I would hate for it to go, like, so over the top with, like, everything so sexed out over the time, because I am, like, such a believer. Like, we do have, I've seen clips even recently where it's like, you know, to be like, women saying this and women in media saying, like, you have to, like, look a certain way and be buttoned up to be respected. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, your brain will do the talking, right? And, like, you'll demand that respect. And so I would hate for, like, the over-the-topness to, like, ruin that and go, you know what I mean? Like, make it go backwards because, yeah.
But I think fashion is the best way to express yourself. I love it, you know.
I love it.
I'll plan different looks for days. Yeah. Like, I love it. But then at the end of the day, you know, if you are in a workplace, you just leave a little bit of imagination.
A little mystery. Okay, last. Everybody and their mom is talking about, we are here in Nashville, everybody's talking about Beyonce going country.
Yes.
It's, like, super controversial, and whether or not you want to get into the politics of it, what do you think about it?
I don't know. I think it's cool. Like, I saw Beyonce over at the Renaissance tour. I saw Beyonce this summer and I saw Taylor Swift this summer. So I got to check out the two biggest tours, which is amazing because I love music. And
Which one was better?
Oh, God.
Don't worry about upsetting Swifties. I do it all the time.
I don't know. Like, I grew up listening to both because, like, New York City, you know, you have that pop music, but you also, the hip hop is very, like, it originated in the Bronx. It originated in the Bronx. Like, I'm from Staten Island, but, you know, we have that. But, I don't know. I think the way that they both did the production was incredible, and it's just for a different market. Like, Taylor Swift is a completely different market than Beyonce. So I feel like in their markets, they did the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you
that's the answer.
And what do you think about her? I think the song is catchy as hell.
The thing is, I don't think people realize when they listen to country music, modern country music, there are a lot of 808s. There are a lot of hip-hop influences in it anyway. So, like, what does it matter who's singing it?
What I love about it is, like, politics aside, is Beyonce is – she's from Houston.
Like, she's a Texas girl. So, like,
What do you expect?
Like, you know, like, what do you expect? Like, there's always going to be that country roots and country influences. Like Meg Thee Stallion was at CMT Awards in April, and she's like, I'm from H-Town. Like, you know, I'm in Austin. Like, I'm having a great time. Like, I don't think people understand that when you're from the South, like, you're all around that country vibe. Yes and no. You know, like, you'll have that balance, but at the end of the day, it's more dominant rather than it being in New York or Pennsylvania or Connecticut or wherever.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that now, like, country is such a big thing back at home. Like, do you see all the big names, like, come now?
It's so funny.
Weird.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So
the cowboy boots are coming out.
And, like, Madison Square Garden in, like, cowboy hats. And it's like, where am I? Like,
it's going mainstream. Full speed. No, exactly. Like, what vortex am I in? But it's, you know, to me, what I love about it, too, is I'm all about being about something. Like, there's so much hooting and hollering and people like shouting things. And I'm like, your actions speak, like, that kind of subtlety. And I love, like, people have been talking about, like, I've poked fun at Maren Morris for her virtue, whatever, her disgruntled ways about country music. And it's just so, like, I love to see Beyonce, like, swooping in with one single song that is so catchy, becoming the first Black woman to be on the Billboard Country Hot chart to hit number one, and just doing it in like 50 seconds. And I love that, because it's like being about it. It's like you just did the thing, and made it happen.
I just don't see like the reason why there's so much like controversy to it, because again, like, you know, someone like Morgan Wallen, he had like, he was controversial, you know, like in 2020, whatever. But like, if you listen to his music, it's a lot of hip hop influenced and everyone loves him and everyone loves his stuff. Like,
it's really good.
He's got songs with like Lil Durk, and like, he's working with people that do make a lot of the hip hop songs out there right now. Yeah. So it's just like, if you like him, like, what's the difference? If it, I mean, it's not the same people working on it, but like, if it's the same vibe, like, what is the difference?
It's so true. And I'm so not that person to be like, this is racist and that's racist. But like, the people being so uptight about this and disgruntled, I'm starting to be like, wait, is it racist? Because I'm like, first of all, I always like, art is art. And it's so good. It's like, who cares? Like,
I know.
Why are you going to cap art? There's
a big controversy with like country radio, and they're like, they don't want to play Beyonce because she's Black, or they don't want to play Beyonce because she's Beyonce. Does anyone know like the ins and outs of actually what country radio is, and how women were considered tomatoes, and like, you can't play, listen to like a radio station, listen to a country radio station for at least an hour. No two women will be played back to back. Think about it.
Right? Yes. And well, there's all, I read.
Yes, the history of country radio, because I've been down here for a while, and I've listened to so many different stories, so many female artists, they will not play two women. I don't know if, like, I haven't listened to country radio recently, but within the past couple years, still to this day, if you look, even playlisting, women are not back to back. They're not.
That's so it. Because when you think about the mode on the whole, it's like, I saw all these articles, it's like country radio. And I'm like, that first in and of itself is feels stone age, because I'm like, radio, first of all, like, who actually, but in country, like,
country radio,
maybe it's indicative of how archaic, old school it is here.
Yes, radio is the base of country music.
Here, yeah.
And I've learned that from coming down here, learned that by talking to different PDs, talking to different artists, people in the industry. Like, that's what I said, women are at a disadvantage, because especially down here, you're not going to get your song. Like, there's so many, and it's terrible. Like, so many women, they all have the same look, the glitter boots, the blonde hair, all like that Carrie Underwood type, Kelsey Ballerini type 100%. Look. So it's like, what's going to make you stand out?
It's so true.
And also, when you're at a disadvantage, when this is a male dominated scene, when you think country music, who are you thinking? Like, back in the 90s, you'd say maybe Reba, you'd say Shania Twain, like all those people. But now, who is it? Like, it was Jason Aldean did win Artist of the Decade in ACMs in like 2020. Yeah. So it's like, you know, Keith Urban, Entertainer of the Year, Luke Combs, Entertainer of the Year. They're all men. So just to start like listening to country radio, you already, it's already male dominated. Like, females already at the disadvantage. So like, unfortunately, she was already at a disadvantage with country radio. Like, I don't know what else to say.
It's so interesting to me. Like, that radio is still the bar. Like, that to me is hilarious. But also, I was reading about it, like, all the ins and outs. It's like, you essentially have to, like, pitch it and get it for, like, all the stuff that goes into it. And I'm like, all this for a radio? Like, what is this, Johnny Carson? Like, what?
Radio tours. These artists I talk to, and I'm like, oh, so what have you been doing? They're like, oh, I'm on a radio tour. They have to go to these obscure cities and meet with these programming
directors. No, exactly.
And pitch the music and play the music. You think a desk side is bad to do an interview on, like, a 15-minute interview on your project? Like, imagine being there for 2 hours and trying to please people and make sure, okay, well, we'll think about putting your song on the radio.
And that's why it was so controversial with Beyonce, because she didn't do all those things, which nor should she, because she's Beyonce. And, like, the streams alone.
Seriously. Like, and then at the end of the day, like, to try and get people to be on that train where it's like Beyonce is going country, I think they should do some type of promo. She doesn't have to, because she is who she is. But if they kind of want the press to kind of die down a little bit, I feel like that would be the best way to do it. But at the end of the day, all press is good press. Mm-hmm. Even if people are talking trash about you, it's a cycle. Someone once told me it's like a PowerPoint presentation of a cycle of your career. You see it on the way up, then you have like this big controversial thing that happens, then you go back and you reflect and you realize what you did, and you learn from your actions, and then you come with this great comeback and you are back on top. So I feel like it's just the cycle. You know what I mean?
The cycle of life, this dysfunctional life we call entertainment.
A celebrity.
Perfect kind of cap on that, because we have to wrap in 60 seconds. What is next for Juliet Schroeder, for Celeb Secrets? Like, where are you going? Where's the business going? I'm like, no pressure, 60 seconds. I'm
booked and busy always, trying to see how we could keep things new and fresh, always trying to bring on new people on our team to really kind of give them a voice if they don't have it. So what we do is I built this when I was in high school and college, and no one would hire me. Like, I didn't have internships. Like, I was my own mentor. So if I could be a mentor for someone else, I'd really love to grow my team more and give people a voice where they could write their stories and interview big names to kind of give them that springboard. So that's something amazing. That really I want to do. Just branch into different types of things, work with different brands, kind of have people see me for me and that I'm the voice behind this, you know, because I feel like I've just been doing it so much kind of behind the scenes, but now it's like, learn who's actually the person behind the computer. So that's something that we really want to take off. And then I go home back to New York tonight. Then we'll go to Mammoth next week for the Mammoth Film Festival. So back in film and everything like that. I just go all over. And then I don't know, festival season. So we'll be busy with music and always fashion. Always, always fashion. Spring trends, festival trends. Yeah, that's kind of what's next.
She's moving and shaking and moving.
Always is the same thing.
Do you feel lazy? Because you should. So goodbye to Variety. Like, nice knowing you, Juliet, is coming to snatch your wig. No.
My friends call me Carmen San Diego because they don't know where I am at any point of the day. They'll be like, wait, Juliet was in New York, but now she's in Nashville, and she's always hustling and always working. So that's the thing.
Work. I love that.
I live and breathe my job.
And it's funny you say that, because when I first saw your picture before I met you, I was like, who's this little Carmen Electra? Like, another Carmen. I was like, who is this brainy babe? But anyway, Juliet,
that's you have the biggest compliment, by the way. See, I was like looking it up like the next morning after you said it, and I was like, I see it. Like,
I'm telling you, that is the power of the little sex pop brain that you are. That's it, everybody. Like, darn tootin', the two hustling tri-state girls here in Nashville.
So happy we got to hang out at Sunny's and have this conversation.
Here we are, and everyone could hear how unhinged it all is.
I know.
Thank you, Julia.
Anytime. Thank you.
That was so much fun.
That was great.
Bye, guys. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. I have these, like, huge boots, not to be mistaken with cowboy boots.
Oh, my God.